Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio after driving, well, first of all, after working to find his way to fight again or make world safe for democracy fighting fires, he's also driving people around through magic. And if you don't know what that is, you know where we live. I use the term. I'm not going to help you any more than that. Whatever. Chris Rankin, back in studio. Welcome back, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's kind of weird being back here after a three-week absence.
Yeah, it's been like a month. No, really. It's been like a month. Right. Of course, unfortunately, we do throw a shout-out to Weasel. He is under the weather. He says his wife made him sick. I don't know if Amanda approves of being thrown under the bus like that, but...
Does he have morning sickness?
Wow. I'm not even going to touch that. Mercy. Wow. That, and moving on. That's how we handle that. So, you know, I wanted to get into something really quick here just to kind of get the show up on its legs before we get into the games this week, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. But something that I really wanted to hear someone a little bit more rational than the rest of the world get going on, and that's regarding all this talk surrounding Jim Harbaugh, Chris. And I know we didn't really prep for this before the show, but all these people are like, oh, he lost the locker room. Oh, he's going to be fired at the end of the year no matter what happens. Do you buy any of it?
I don't buy any of it at all. No, I don't. I don't know if that was the answer you're looking for, but really, what he's done for the Niners since he's been there, I don't see he's going to get fired. You know, the rumors are like, oh, Michigan wants him really bad to go up there and everything, but, I mean, his dream is coaching in the NFL, and he doesn't have what his brother has, and that's a Super Bowl ring right now. So,
yeah.
You know, why would he want to jump ship back? I mean, he's had success here. He's had success on the college level. He's having success right now.
Right, right.
I don't see him jumping to go to Michigan. I don't see the Niners firing him at the end of the season.
Well, let's say this. And the only thing in my mind that offers any legitimacy to any possibility of it, first of all, it's not Deion Sanders or Trent Dilfer. Okay, screw that. Okay, I went over this a bit last week. It was Alex Boone, an offensive lineman who held out in the offseason over his contract defending them, that kind of balanced that out for me. So when you look at just the facts, strong egos are going to be a part of the top of an organization like this that's finding success. So if these guys aren't meshing at the top and there's creative differences, maybe that's the case. Trent Baalke, Jed York, and Jim Harbaugh, if they don't get along, I can see where they'd be worried about that solving a problem. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, can I be honest? I don't give a beep, because whether he opts to go to Ann Arbor and, you know, become part of the most overrated conference in college football that is the Big Ten, that's right, I said it, or whether he wants to stay in the pro ranks, because I'm sure there's some teams that there's talk of, you know, they're going to be losing coaches soon, where he'd be glad to go and fill the void. I have no doubt in that. So the person really least, I wouldn't say least affected, but least harmed by it, in my mind, would be Jim Harbaugh. I'm just saying. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, no, I wasn't looking for a particular answer. I was just really curious to hear what you had to say about it. And you gave me that. So there you go. You know, and we'll leave it at that. Ever since last Monday and probably a little bit before, something I was curious about seeing was this most recent Thursday night game. Hell yeah, Colts Texans. Said no one else ever before this game. I saw this game. First of all, as much as I do make fun of him, good friend of the show, G. Stelio, he had audacity to select the Texans to win the AFC South. I did make fun of him of that. And I'm probably going to continue to make fun of him for that. But, man, I'll tell you, he's making it a compelling case to cut him some slack. I'm still not going to, because at the end of the day, the Texans still lost the football game. But I got to give you credit, Chris. I think your notes, even though you weren't even here last week, your notes and the reason why you made the pick of the Colts over the Texans was if they had two J.J. Watts, they'd have won this game. Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement. As a matter of fact, there's one part in the game where he almost had an interception. and it just barely fumbled out of his big giant bear paw at the end of the day. Craziness all the way around. 33-28 was the final score. Looking through it, look, by the way, if you had T.Y. Hilton in your fantasy team.
I did.
Boom. And you still, wait, and you're all talking about how you got your butt handed to you. What happened?
The other guy had Arian Foster and Matt Forte, and Tom Brady finally showed up this week.
Well, I mean.
So I'm down by 40, and I got Crabtree tonight, but.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I also had my tight end on bye this week, too, so it didn't help.
Yeah, that'll do it. Down by 40 means that by the time Crabtree's done, it'll probably be about maybe like a 30-point win or something, so it's not as bad.
38.
Oh, hey, with the way the Niners haven't been scoring in the red zone lately, that's a pretty certain thing, actually, now that I think about it. I talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night on the NFL West Recess with D. Will and Raider Rome, the sports butler. Good time there, by the way, if you're not doing anything on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern, fighting against West Coast bias. One show at a time here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. And I got to say, this is one of few Thursday night games I actually put on the Matchup Mania for the season, let alone, I mean, obviously, you know, you can only have one Thursday night game a week. I think this is the only second Thursday night game in the 6 weeks that have passed so far. Is it 6 weeks? Yes, it is. Where I had them on the Matchup Mania, which, by the way, www.ngscsports.com, where you can see that and other content. So there you go with that. But, you know, you see Houston, check that. You see Indianapolis jump out to a 24-0 lead. I changed it for a bit. I'm not going to lie. And I came back, or rather I should say my wife went to bed. I only stayed to it because I'm like, well, let's see what happens on this drive. And then Luck throws the ball. It gets tipped, an interception by the Texans, and the game just starts to change. I mean, is there anything particular you saw that really changed that momentum other than J.J. Watt?
Nothing else, really. I mean, I was just watching highlights of the game because I was at a different game because I was at the UCF BYU game,
yes,
which
that
turned out maybe a nail biter at the end of the game.
Overtime, yes.
And so, you know, J.J. Watt was just a big difference in this game. I mean, he had a fumble return
for a touchdown.
Like you said, that other interception, he had another one. He had at least another deflection.
Yeah, two more deflections. Right. One of them where he was sporting the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag, which was awesome. I was talking to my dad, and he was like, he actually had the nerve to talk smack on J.J. Watt. Well, I'm just sick of hearing about him. He didn't help win that game, did he? I'm like, bro. Ryan Fitzpatrick, next question. Yeah, the only thing J.J. Watt can't do is throw the football, or maybe he can and they just haven't tried yet. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. Watt had 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss, 3 pass defended, and 4 QB hits.
Step your game up.
With a touchdown.
With a touchdown, that's right.
And a fumble recovery.
Which at the time of said touchdown scoring, he had more touchdowns than A.J. Green and the entire Jets receiver corps, among other entities on the year. Just saying. Two more touchdowns, and he ties the record for touchdowns by a defensive player held by Derek Brooks at Curran in 2003. Boom. Yeah, I think that's pretty complete. But let me ask you this question. There, of course, J.J. Watt was in this game. Dude, Andrew Luck is awesome. I'm going to leave that at that. That team would not be a fraction of what they are without him. Was this a battle of MVP candidates facing each other in your mind?
Yeah, I believe it is. I think Andrew Luck, what he's done with the Colts. I mean, the Colts are right now 4-2, you know, 2-1 in division.
Arguably 5-1 with the way that Eagles Monday night call went. I believe it was week 2, where it was an obvious holding call that turned into an interception that gave the Eagles the opportunity to win.
Right.
But I'm splitting hairs there. Anyway,
yeah,
you're saying.
I mean, with that, but then, I mean, just what's funny is players that sign big contracts in the offseason, they usually don't play very well that season. I mean, there's other games we'll get to, you know, with certain corners that sign big contracts. Not just one, there's two. And you get J.J. Watt, the $100 million contract, and he's playing better than he was last year.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we've been over on this show before where the moment I really fell in love with him was that interception from the line in the playoffs against Andy Dalton and the Bengals and craziness. But he's done more since then. I mean, come on, dude.
So, yeah, I think he has, with the Texans at 500 right now, I actually had them at the beginning of the season going 8-8, and you guys were like, what?
I think I hit them harder.
Yes.
But yeah.
You guys are like, what? I'm like, yeah, I think they're going to turn around. I think they're going to, yeah, I think, I'm like, they're going to be 8-8. I mean, they're 500 right now. Their number one draft pick's out still.
So, yeah, Clowney is still out. Jadeveon Clowney.
Right. So, I mean, when they, if he can come back, you know.
Which I believe isn't this week, but the week after.
Right. If he can come back, I mean, just that'll give the other presence if people try to run away from J.J. Watt or try to throw away from J.J. Watt.
I dare you. I double dare you.
Because, yeah. I mean, I was just watching the highlights, and they're like, if I was Andrew Luck, I wouldn't even be trying to throw those quick out passes to J.J. Watt's side.
Oh,
I'd
right.
be throwing it the opposite way because he keeps getting his hand on it.
Well, and then it's funny. Like, there was one series where J.J. Watt was out, and a different player, Craig, I forget his name, but it was a defensive tackle, he swatted a ball down. So, like, that influence as the captain of the defense, I don't know that he actually is or not, that's probably Cushing, but the point is setting a precedent where other people are trying to bat the ball. It's very interesting stuff, you know. I mean, look, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but at least it wasn't like last week Monday night game where Russell Wilson was actually given credit and praise for taking a sack. Thanks, Mike Tirico. Oh, I don't really run the clock to finish the game. Shut up. Anyways, I usually respect you, Mike Tirico. You broke my heart that night. Anyways, so I think we're in agreement that both are MVP candidates. I don't think there's any way J.J. Watt will win it unless he gets ridiculous stats between then and now, because that's unfortunately too much of what people pay attention to. You agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go. Anyways, good luck with that. Ah, what I did there. Anyways, so let's quickly get past this waste of time that is the Ravens and the Bucks. You could get away with describing this as being a lot to a little, 48-17. Which, by the way, if one more moron tries to tell me, hey, Joe Flacco threw four touchdowns in a game, did Andy Dalton ever do that? Okay, this is for you, Nick Ficarelli and Montel Hardy. I'm calling you out both in public, okay? At MH on Sports, look at his Twitter feed. He actually said that to me. Oh, does Andy Dalton ever gotten five touchdowns? You're part of the problem. Stop it. Go home, guys. You're drunk. Okay, anyways, that aside, if anybody wants to try to tell me that Joe Flacco's elite because of this game, we'll go back to the five interception games and leave that at that. But really, the embarrassment here obviously isn't Joe Flacco. It's the Bucs. And here's the way it's put. Or it was put to us in the offseason. I'm not the first person to say this. Lovie Smith comes in as the coach. Look, no one's expecting. I don't think any of us were expecting the playoffs. Some people were bringing a dramatic improvement, but I don't even know exactly where they get that from, right? He was selling us Josh McCown as a starter and a much improved defense. Okay. One of those isn't even true, whether it's due to injury or a lack of production. And this 48-17 pimp slap isn't even the worst loss they took. You know, the whole Thursday night Atlanta debacle. Yeah, so should Lovie Smith be worried about being fired during this season?
No, I don't believe so. If you go back to our preseason show when we covered the NFC South, I had the Bucs going 3-13 because I said they're going to give them two. I just pulled it up just to make sure because I'm like, I know I didn't give them that many wins.
Right.
You and Weasel both had them 7-9.
Apparently we're optimists.
So, yeah, so I remember the show were saying that I was like, Lovie Smith, they're going to give him 2 years for this because, I mean, he's given a quarterback, and they had so many needs on the defensive side of the ball with their secondary,
right?
Which got exposed yesterday, especially on that Steve Smith touchdown pass when the corner played it well, did not fall for any of the jukes that Steve Smith did all the way down the field in the 15 seconds that Joe Flacco had to throw the ball. And yet, he still got burnt by Steve Smith.
Well, first of all, part of that is because Steve Smith. Let's be real. And the second is because of lack of a defensive line not named Gerald McCoy.
Right. But I'm just saying, I'm watching this play. They're showing just Steve Smith running his routes. He's making all these cuts, and the corner's not even paying attention to him just running. He's 5 yards ahead of Steve Smith at one point. just like slowly running. Then all of a sudden Steve Smith just takes off, and then that's where he got it. And then one angle looked like Steve Smith pushed off, but another angle, it wasn't that close.
It just kind of looks like Steve Smith goes, screw it.
Yes. Yeah, he's like joking. The guy's not going. All right, forget it. I'll just take off.
What the hell it is? Enough of this running.
But I mean, when you had players catch the ball,
yeah,
like Kamari can get a touchdown, you know, ex-UCF player. Michael Campanaro, rookie, catch a touchdown in the first quarter. I mean, it's like
you're saying the names of these players, and I'm coming back from a scene from Major League. Who are these big yeah. guys? I mean, maybe that's part of the problem. Other than V-Jack, I don't really know a lot of these cats' names. You know, I mean, obviously Doug Martin running the football, but and Bobby Rainey, but you know, maybe that's part of the problem.
Those guys were for the Ravens. The ones I was saying.
Right. Well.
Yeah, but yeah, for.
I mean, Owen Daniels, I think, was out, so. And so is Dennis Pitta, as I understand it, so. I don't know. Lovey sold us Josh McCown in defense, and neither are in effect right now. So that's the defense. I think you're right today that he won't get fired in 2014 simply because of that Steelers win that gave him kind of a pass. Now, granted, that pass is starting to get revoked on the strength of this loss, but. We'll have to see what happens, you know, later on down the schedule.
This Ravens defense is playing better than either of us thought they would.
You're only saying that because Haloti Ngata was leading the team in interceptions last week.
Right, but I'm just saying is like if you look at how their defense is playing and it's feeding their offense, it's like with this absence of Ray Rice, it's like gave them extra life or something, you know, with
right.
It's like they moved on away from it and everything, and their defense has actually stepped up.
I would like to think, and I don't want to bring this up as a positive because there's nothing positive about it, but there have been team disasters in the past that have galvanized a squad. I actually think a lot more of this has to do with Steve Smith than anything else because I don't care who you are. Okay, fine. They're without Ray Weiss or without Dennis Pitta. They're without Owen Daniels. You know what, though? That field is still spread the hell out because both Smiths are good receivers. There are those out there who want to try to tell me that Torrey Smith isn't that good. Stop it. Okay? At the very least, he's a good number two to Steve Smith. That cat's a Hall of Famer. There's nothing else you can say about it. And, I mean, I mentioned it in my things I don't get about the NFL thing in the preseason where I was asking the Carolina Panthers, what were you thinking, you know? Apparently the Ravens didn't. Apparently the Ravens didn't know either, but they took it.
Right.
Of course, the Ravens didn't know what they were thinking either when they got rid of Anquan Boldin. Anyways, enough about that. Speaking of teams, we have no idea what they were thinking. The Steelers smashed by the Browns. Look, I thought the Browns might win this game, but 31-10, oh, hell no. Did not see that coming. So let me ask you this question, though. Do you think it was more because the Browns were good or because the Steelers were bad in this game?
It's a little bit of both.
It usually is.
The Browns took beat the Steelers last year in a game, too, which kind of right. shocked everyone. I mean,
right. Wasn't this bad, though.
No, but, I mean, it was Hoyer last year also the one that won the game.
Correct.
So, I mean, everyone was trying to sign off Hoyer in the preseason. I mean, look what he's been doing there. They did lose their center, Mack, broke his leg,
yeah,
Browns, so that's going to be a big blow
yeah.
for the Browns moving forward. But,
they,
I mean.
You know, what's funny about that with Kevin Mack is they were talking about not extending his contract in the offseason. And the fact that they did that, I think, is key to their success as a unit right now. Anyways, but you were saying, keep going.
So, I mean, with that and then. They have a presence of a running game. They had Trent Richardson up there last year, traded him away to the Colts, you know, and then so they got in Ben Tate, and they got this rookie from Alabama State, Isaiah Crowell, that's, you know, they're feeding off each other, both those running backs. They're running the ball well yesterday. And then, of course, you got the Jordan Cameron, their tight end.
Yeah. I mean, we knew he was going to be a big deal. It's funny. I mean, this team is – it's funny how close this team is built to the 49ers in that – they don't really have a dominant receiver right now. and I shouldn't say like the, not the 49ers now, but a few years back when they started it, when back when they had Alex Smith still and all that. I mean, it was Crabtree and
Vernon Davis, and that was basically
that
it.
Was pretty much it.
Right.
And they don't even have the quote unquote Crabtree equivalent because Josh Gordon is out because weed. He'll be back in week 11 or something like that. But I say all that to say this. When have you ever heard of a Browns running game accounting for 3 touchdowns? It ain't recent. You know what I mean?
Right. And then what stat that throws out to me is 8 receptions by 5 receivers. Hoyer only had 8 completions.
Yeah.
I mean, he was less than 50% on his passes, but
yeah, 8 of 17 is a bad day for a quarterback.
Right,
I agree.
But he had 217 yards.
Yeah,
you know, and 1 touchdown pass.
Sounds like a Kaepernick stat line.
Right, but when you run the ball for 158 yards and your defense just
you can say dominate.
Yeah, right. They pretty much dominated. They shut down. I mean, the Steelers' running game.
I mean, Ben himself was held to 50%, throwing the ball 42 times. That's not a great day. 228 yards. He only threw 11 more yards than Hoyer with 25 more attempts. Like, the number of attempts, like, that differential is more passes than Ben completed. That's just complete and total domination.
Right.
If you're the Steelers, well, I mean, maybe you had to give up on the passing game eventually because you were starting to get down big, but I mean, Le'Veon Bell, he had 18 for 82 on the ground. I don't know. I'm gonna blame the red zone on this because the Steelers were 0 for 3 in the red zone. But even if they had those 12 points, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Browns were 3 for 3, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, well, actually, one of those was probably an outright, like, they probably went for 0 rather than just 3 instead of 7, but I don't know. Tighten up, Steelers. I mean, that's pretty. Let me ask you this, because I saw this on from some of the Steeler faithful on Facebook. They're talking about cleaning house with that coaching staff. That's stupid, right? That's not the move here.
You can go it both ways. They're saying that they haven't brought in the players for him, or he hasn't done anything with them because his success was from Cowell. Or
when you say his, you of course right. mean Omar Epps.
Right.
I mean Mike, yeah, I mean Tomlin. Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, his success came off of his, you know, previous coaches basically roster. You
not
know?
Exactly. So, I mean, the only thing that they really had in common
was the defense.
Right. Well, it might have been Ben.
Yeah. They had Ben and they had the defense.
Okay. And I mean
that defense is aged now. So
yeah, like Troy Polamalu is like 132 years old. I think seriously he's a 12th-year player.
Right. And then he gets like blown by by a tight end.
Well, so. I mean, it depends on the time. Maybe Jimmy Graham. The point is Polamalu now is just a really feisty linebacker instead of a safety.
Right.
There's too many players on that roster 10 years or above, period. That's the problem, right? And I mean, well, and here's the other thing too. You go trying to clean house now with players. Ben is getting up there himself. I don't know what his shelf life is going to be, considering some of the beatings he's taken. But
right, because this is his 11th year in the league.
Correct. If you clear out Tomlin and Dick LeBeau and cats like that, what are you going to replace him with? What's the option there? Hey, yeah. Jim Harbaugh. No. I mean, well, maybe, but. I said
no. He wouldn't come over in the same division as his brother.
I think he would. He's not a punk like Peyton Manning. I think he would go after his brother like that. Hell yes. I don't know. It would, but act like you wouldn't watch that football game every year both times. I'm already excited when I see that game, and I'm not even a fan of either team.
I already said Steelers and Ravens. There's always like a brawl in there, and the coaches are going to get into it too.
Hell yeah, it'll be great. Anyways, enough about that. We've tangented enough. Let's go to another game that really didn't matter, but we still might find something tangential interesting about it. The Broncos and the Jets. The Broncos scored 31 like the Browns did. The Jets scored 17. There were points when the game was closer than this, but I don't know, Chris. Walk me through it.
Well, I mean, it was 17-7 at half. The Broncos just seemed like they just cruised. In the second half, like they have been in the last couple, you know, last couple games, when they start getting out to an early lead. I mean, first play of the game, Peyton Manning hit Demaryius Thomas for a 54-yard gain. So, I mean, and then they settle for a field goal, and then it seemed like the Broncos, since they're playing in the Meadowlands for the first time since the Super Bowl, they had, like, flashbacks for it. Their second series, they botched a snap. Peyton gets sacked. Next series, Peyton gets sacked on the first play, you know, but it is Peyton. He bounced back. They didn't lose any of those balls because that could have changed the game.
Yeah, definitely.
And then also they're going against the Jets secondary, which isn't all that great, which took another big hit yesterday because they lost cornerback D. Milner with torn Achilles.
That's one of the new guys too.
Yeah, he's a second-year player corner. So they lost him to an injury for the season. He's out for the season now.
You think at any point Manning goes to his guys, look, I know they're wearing green. Stop that crap. Anyways.
Right. So, I mean, the Broncos the Jets were down 24-17 late in the fourth quarter. On their own one, Geno Smith does what he's been doing lately as he leads cornerbacks. And this time he led Aqib Talib, who returned the touchdown to seal the game. That's what gave the Broncos 31. The Broncos D only gave up 31 rushing yards to the Jets.
That's not a lot.
No. It was actually 11 by Geno, so 13 carries for 20 yards for the rest of the running backs there.
I mean, that's where you got to give Geno a little bit of credit, a complete and total lack of support. But the good news for Geno is this, is you can count that pick six. I believe this is the first week that he's thrown for 3 touchdowns. So there you go.
Right, yeah, because, I mean, you did have the rookie tight end, Jason Morrow. He had 10 catches, 68 yards with a touchdown. Eric Decker scored against his team, old team, got in the end zone.
Decker being back will help Geno, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but when the other team has both Thomases there, you know, going for 3 touchdowns.
It just doesn't matter.
Right. And then also Ronnie Hillman clipped the 100-yard mark rushing the ball too as well.
So in the spirit of it just doesn't matter, let's touch on this whole Titans, Jaguars debacle, whatever, Jags, Titans, wherever it was played at. I don't – whatever. So that game happened. Blake Bortles goes 32 for 46, 336 yards, a touchdown and interception. I mean, that's a good game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. He put his team in position to win the game. Their first series opening drive was a touchdown set up by a Clay Harbor 59-yard catch and run.
Boom.
Which ex-UCF star Jordan Johnson had a 1-yard touchdown run, his first touchdown of the season.
I knew you were going to drop that. That's okay.
So,
I just
you know,
to do
that,
it.
That was on the opening drive. So the Jags were up 7-0, looking good. Then all of a sudden they're – offense disappeared till late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
O-line struggled, gave up 6 sacks.
It's a lot.
5 of them I blame on the offensive line. The other one I blame on Bortles. What I said, what he does a lot is hold on to the ball too long.
Oh, so he really is like Ben Roethlisberger,
yes.
The younger.
He held on to the ball. I mean, he was out there 5-6 seconds, and then, you know, he got sacked. You know, you tell the offensive line usually go for 4 to 5 seconds. He was there for like 6. So he takes the blame on that, and that's what I said scouting him out of college is he just holds on to the ball sometimes too long trying to make that play.
When I played in the O-line, on the O-line for my semi-pro team, he would say 3 seconds. So basically, by your account, he's holding it twice as long as I'm supposed to be holding this block. Anyways.
Right. And then Jags defense actually helped them stay in the game. They forced a lot of 3-and-outs in this game. They didn't have any turnovers, but – the Titans were 1-3 in the red zone to the Jags, 2-for-2. You know, the Jags were down 16-7 in the fourth quarter. Cecil Shorts, the third, fumbled the ball inside the Titans' 10-yard line.
CS3!
And that fumble was returned to the 48. You know, CS3 did have over 100 yards receiving in the game.
He did. He had 10 catches. I mean, that's a lot.
Right. But, you know, they came down, scored a touchdown, go down 16-14, the Jags. And then onside kick, you know, there's only, 37 seconds left in the game. Mm-hmm. They recover it. Michael Griffin for the Titans drops the ball on the onside kick. He's the one that actually got beat on the 59-yard catch by Clay Harbor. He was covering him. So he didn't have that very good of a game, which is surprising with Michael Griffin.
Michael Griffin, I mean, that's a dude who came in the league the same time as Vince Young. I mean, good God. or a year after, maybe. Anyways.
Right. But, I mean, Charlie Whitehurst, this was his second career for the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, he came from Clemson. No one really knows much what he did there because of Fred Davis and one C.J. Spiller.
Oh, that guy.
They were both there with Charlie Whitehurst. But he's been around the league. He's been, what, Drew Brees' backup?
Or Philip Rivers, too.
Yeah, and then Philip Rivers. But, so, I mean, he's learned from them, too. So, he played decently. I mean, he was 17 for 28, 61% for 233 yards. No interceptions, no touchdowns, but...
But not asked to throw the ball 46 times.
Correct.
You know, I still maintain that now isn't the time to be starting Bortles, but he had a good game this game. Granted, it was just against the Titans, but because rookie quarterback. I'm just saying. Anyways, so speaking of other things that were probably particularly disappointing to watch, at least if you were Chris, Giants, Eagle, or Eagles, Giants. So both you and Weasel... And I noticed that the Giants were on fire. What the hell happened?
Well, yesterday I was talking to a coworker and there's another Giants fan. And I'm like, you know, I like the Giants, how they've been playing the last 3 weeks. But if the Eagles go back to basics and Chip Kelly gets the ball into LeSean McCoy's hand, who's been like a dagger in the side for the Giants all these years, the Eagles are going to win the game.
I think that happened.
Yes. And also, what we said in the preseason, we don't like this O-line for the Giants. They gave up 8 sacks yesterday. Eagles linebacker Connor Barwin had 3 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'll say this. I mean, look, I know a lot of people aren't into moral victories, but if I'm Eli Manning or if I'm a member of the coaching staff for the Giants, I am ecstatic that despite getting sacked 8 times, no interceptions by Eli Manning. No turnovers by Eli Manning. That's friggin' amazing. I'm just saying.
Right. And then, you know, that sack total brings it up to 15. 8 yesterday. So he only had 7 the other 5 games. I looked them up.
Damn.
He only had the 3 games they won. He was only sacked once. The first 2 games he lost were sacked twice. So, I mean, and he wasn't holding on to the ball. He just didn't have time.
Right.
And in those 3 wins, they're saying, oh, he's getting the ball out quickly. Maybe it was the...
Well, more what I've said calling? Is that they're waiting. Is that they're waiting on the run game? I mean, Rashad Jennings, before he got hurt, and granted, he wasn't in this game. I'm throwing that out there. I said that would be an issue last week in the study hall. Rashad Jennings not playing this game. The running game was mitigated, and granted, at some point they did. You know, I mean, they did have to chase a lead. I mean, they were shut out. What was it? 24 zip, 27
nothing.
27 zip. I mean, at some point, you have to start taking shots with the ball and abandoning the running game. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll put it this way. It's interesting you mentioned LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles, which, by the way, Darren Sproles being out for the year for the Eagles, that's
a problem. He's actually not out for the year.
Oh, good.
He's only they're going on a bye next week. He might be out 1 week.
Or excuse me, it was sprain.
Sprain.
And I got him mixed up with Stephen Ridley. That's my bad.
Right.
Him being out is an issue, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean,
him and McCoy, they average 6.2 yards a carry.
That's ridiculous.
So I mean, McCoy had 22 for 149. Sproles 7 for 39 with a touchdown.
So I mean, we'll talk more about the Eagles, what they're going to do next week. But I mean,
but big loss was for the Giants with Victor Cruz, yes. Tore his patellar tendon. He's out for the season.
On probably the single worst situation you can think of. So Victor Cruz is going for a touchdown. And he's going to catch it. It's going to be 6 points. Right at the moment the ball's about to hit his hands is when the tear happens. So, okay. So, first he drops the pass, which means then he drops the pass to negate the touchdown, which means he drops the pass and negate the touchdown for the tear that'll have him out probably for the year.
Yeah, it will be for the year, yeah. He's okay. On IR.
So, he drops the pass and misses a touchdown on an injury where he'll be out for the year. And, oh, by the way, it was fourth down as well, so the Giants were outed for a red zone attempt with 0 points. Ah, I think the way I put it is the only way it could be worse is if, like, he skinned his knee on part of the turf that was affected with Ebola. That's pretty much the only way this play could have gone worse for Victor Cruz. Come on,
right?
Man.
Yeah, and
I'm
also
not even a Giants fan, and that's just right. Trash.
Also, this happened in the third quarter, and they were down 20-0. That could have made it.
20-7 is more surmountable, certainly.
Especially in the third quarter, you have a quarter and a half to play.
still plenty of football at that point. No, I agree with you absolutely. So I don't know. That anyway, so yeah, a lot of stuff went wrong. I think first and foremost, I think the teams with the best defensive fronts are the ones that are going to have the best hope against the Eagles, and the Giants are not that. Short version to kind of back up what it was you were talking about, feeding LeSean McCoy the ball, simply put. Anyways, we'll be back shortly. We're going to take a quick break. This is the National Gridiron Network.
The National Gridiron Network. Join us as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game, week by week, to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football talk, just the way you like it.
And we're back here on the National Gridiron Network, bringing you football talk just the way you like it. I am Kyle Nash, student of the game here. With he's sick. But I'm here with Chris Rankin. We're here bringing you football talk just the way you like it from all the awesome that was this Sunday and Thursday, because that was a good game too. Deal with it. All these people who hate on Thursday night football, I just don't get it. It's Thursday night. It's football. What, do you not watch college football when it's on Wednesdays? I don't know.
Yeah, this is actually the first game in weeks that it's been an interesting game on Thursdays.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
So, I mean, I was listening somewhere. I don't remember where it was. They were talking about extending the season one more week and add a second bye weekend and have a team have a bye the week before they play on a Thursday.
Wouldn't they need it the week after?
No, they play – no, before because they're playing Sunday,
right.
The short weeks.
Yeah, you're right. I got that backwards.
And so the preparation, yeah. They're saying, and that's what – I'm like, well, both teams have it equal. If they're playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday – and they play Thursday night. They both have the same thing, but that extra bye week would extend the seasons out one more week, giving the teams an extra, you know, an extra week for rest for the bodies of some of these older players.
Right. Well,
so
any player, frankly.
I mean, it's an interesting thing, but
I'll say this about that. The closer they put the Super Bowl to Valentine's Day, the more that damages my calm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's pressure we don't need. Right. We're both happily married men with kids. That's pressure we don't need.
Yeah, no, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. It's a made-up holiday. I don't care about that one.
Well, good for you.
Yeah,
Unfortunately, I have to step my game up.
I don't. Well, that's because it's your anniversary weekend, too. So.
Oh, damn it. That's right.
That's why it's there for you. So, me,
shoot.
It's my wife doesn't
care about that.
my wife doesn't care about that stuff, that made-up holiday by Hallmark. So, yes, I'm that lucky.
Yeah, hey, there you go. Anyway, speaking of other teams who were lucky, the Bears were lucky to get the Falcons this week, facing them with a team that's suffering from major O-line issues to the point where it was 2 weeks ago that tight end Tuilolo had to step in at right tackle. They've got so many injury problems on the O-line. Yeah, the Bears rolled 27-13. Jay Cutler finally didn't throw a metric ton of picks. He had a touchdown, 381 yards. You know, good times there. Matt Forte actually did something well on the ground. 17 carries, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also had 10 completions for 77 yards on the day.
Yeah, that was his first 2 touchdowns of the season, by the way.
Freaking Falcons didn't even make it to the red zone. I mean, yeah. So, considering the Falcons' O-line issues, I'm just going to call them done. I'll admit it, I'm stealing this from Eric Cusilius, but I think he's right. I already said they were in trouble. I wasn't brave enough to say that they were done. But are you in that camp with me, Chris?
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to do so well this year to begin with anyway. I had them going 5-11.
I had them 7-9, I'm pretty sure.
9-7.
Did I really?
Yes.
Wow, I'm
Yeah, 9-7. Weasel had them 6-10. So, I mean.
Great. Weasel was smart.
Yeah. So, sheesh. I mean, you're thinking, yeah, they had a lot of players, but we're saying their defense, and that's what's hurting them right now is their defense, their secondary.
Well, there's really only one team in the NFC South that has defense. But, again, if you can't protect Matt Ryan, he can't get the ball to Julio Jones and Roddy White, ergo pointless, you know. I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, lucky the Bears that had that draw this week. Next game up, Patriots, Bills. The Pats won 37-22. Look, Chris, we're not exactly Patriots fans, But when people are all like, oh, I don't know, Tom Brady had issues a while back. Bills might come in. Did anybody really believe that, or was that just media hype? I mean, seriously.
You know, the Bills stole one last year.
Well,
and then the year before.
Yeah,
they stole one too.
Brady was done. It was just because AFC East. You know?
Right. Well, 2 years ago is with one of George Wilson with his three interceptions that one game.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So, and then the Bills stole one last year when they thought they were out. So. Buffalo playing at home, they thought it could happen, but you know, I said they're good. Patriots already had their issues beginning of the season, losing to the Dolphins, and dropped another one they shouldn't have lost. I mean, they played like crap that game against Kansas City.
Yeah,
but it was against Buffalo.
Yeah,
and Buffalo. You know, they don't have EJ Manuel in there. They have
Kyle Orton, aka right? Uncle Rico. I mean, with that mustache he's wearing now, it looks kind of like it from Napoleon Dynamite. And I'm glad you brought up EJ Manuel, and I want to touch on this quickly. I didn't think it was a good idea to sit him 2 weeks ago. I'm going to leave out the part where Jim Schwartz was arrogant enough to have his team lift him off the field when they beat the Lions without Calvin Johnson. Ooh. But I didn't think putting Kyle Orton in was a good idea. It just sat wrong with me that the guy who got replaced by Tim freaking Tebow and Rex freaking Grossman is the guy that you think is going to do better than EJ Manuel. I didn't think it was a good move, and maybe EJ Manuel would have suffered the same fate. But here's what we do know. Their way isn't working, right? I don't know.
Right, and what's helped Buffalo in those other games is their running game. In this game, they had 68 yards on 23 carries.
That's not good.
So, no, Kyle Orton attempted 38 passes.
You're doing it wrong.
Right. So, I mean, when you have C.J. Spiller, 6 carries for 19 yards, you know, Fred Jackson, 10 for 26, you know, that's unlike their running game over there in Buffalo.
Well, because Vince Wilfork probably, but even still, I don't know.
But like you said before, with Stevon Ridley, his injury, he's out for the season.
And also Gerard Mayo at the linebacker spot. That's going to hurt the Pats a lot more. I'm sure he's going to come up. They're going to come up in the study hall when we're picking games. But anyway, so enough about that. We pretty much know who's going to the playoffs in that division anyway, so let's not linger on it. Lions, Vikings. Now, we were all brave enough, I believe, or smart enough, I should say, to pick the Lions for this game. Even though they didn't have Calvin Johnson. But I really didn't think that Teddy Bridgewater was going to drop 3 interceptions on the day. I mean, this just basically serves to kill the morale of the Vikings, right? There's no other purpose to this game, yeah?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to look down the stat sheet and see Cordell Patterson. And he has 2 catches for 15 yards.
Well, yeah,
he has one run, so you got him 3. He's only targeted.
If you're missing Cordero Patterson, you're doing it wrong. Right. I agree.
He was targeted 8 times in the passing game, but I mean, 2 catches, 15 yards out of 8 targets. Yeah, he led the team in targets, but you're really relying on a young rookie quarterback to carry this team. You know, have him go 37, try to attempt 37 passes, and you only run the ball 18 times. And 3 of those were Bridgewater, so those were pass plays.
Yeah.
So really 15 times.
Maybe he was legitimately intimidated by Ndamukong Suh. I don't know. But, I mean, other than that, I don't know.
You know, the Lions were also missing Reggie Bush, too. So
yeah, missing Bush and Calvin Johnson, the two biggest pieces of their offense. I don't know. Whatever. That offense still scored more against the Vikings than they did the Bills because Kyle Orton helped with their scoring last week too. I don't know. Anyways, because Uncle Rico joke here. Packers, Dolphins. You know, I got to be honest, Chris, and you reminded me of this before we started the show. Dolphins fans are pissed because they want their team to compete. But in this game, they actually did. And to compete against Aaron Rodgers is not something I would have really thought this Dolphins team to be capable of immediately. And yet, and maybe you've heard something else I haven't, but all I hear are Dolphins fans complaining. Oh, we should have won that game. I don't know. Is that your take on this?
Yeah, they should have won the game. I mean, when I looked at it, I was getting ready to leave work yesterday. It was right after the Packers scored the touchdown or field goal, make it 24-20. The Dolphins got the ball and they got two first downs. I'm like, oh, this game's over. It's like 2 minute warning. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's actually before 2 minute warning because it took them, you know, it was 2:04 for the rest of the game by the time they got the ball, the Packers again.
Yeah, right.
But so they took off 3 minutes off the clock. They couldn't do anything with it. And then their defense, who was playing decently in the first, or actually the third quarter, let's just say that.
Dolphin fans were complaining about the defense. They gave the Dolphins three opportunities. The Packers were stopped their last three drives before the score that won the game. And the Dolphins did nothing with it. That's the defense's fault? I don't think so. So for this game, at least, I'm not blaming the defense. But anyways, you were saying.
Yeah, if you with the Dolphins defense, their first half they didn't look all that great. But right. if you look at the second half stats for the third quarter, the Packers only had the ball once in the third quarter and it was 80-yard touchdown, you know. But it was like the second quarter, six plays, field goal, punt, end of half for the Packers. First series, punt. You know, they only gained 1 yard on that fourth quarter, you know, first series. But these interceptions by Tannehill, two of them in the second quarter. And then the third quarter, they turned it around, and then they had a 5-play 80-yard drive, 10-play 80-yard drive, 6-play 79-yard drive for touchdowns.
That's business right there.
And they brought in Knowshon Moreno is back for this week. It was his first week back. They had him playing a lot. Their offense wasn't moving much. They brought back in Lamar Miller on those three touchdowns. Lamar Miller went off catching the ball and running the ball. And he brought life to that offense, and they're going in there. And then it seems like right there they went up. They're like, oh, they went up 24-17, held Packers to a field goal. They're like, oh, that's it. You know, they're going to win this game. And then they gave up a 11-play 60-yard drive to the Packers in the last 2 minutes of the game.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, a lot of the Dolphin fans are blaming either Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill, their quarterback, or Coach Joe Philbin. I mean, do you pin it on either of them? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't really put it on either of them because Tannehill did put his team in the position to win. I didn't see those last few play calls before they had to punt the ball away to the Packers
right
on there. So I don't know what kind of was, but it looks like they were trying to run the clock out
right
with Lamar Miller. And it was just like their defense just failed there at the end in the fourth. So it was more of a team. This is more of a team loss than an individual loss.
Well, I'll say this much for those complaining about Philbin. There was a fourth down call in the red zone where they just basically did a, you know, let's try to ram it running play, and it failed. If they had gone for the field goal, we're talking overtime in this case. Now, maybe the Dolphins still would have lost, but, you know, a draw is better than a loss, as we'll explain later. Anyways, so enough about that. Chargers, Raiders. Now, I knew this game would be closer than it should be because it's the AFC West, but 31-28, damn. I mean, look, props to Derek Carr for having a 3-touchdown game against this Chargers defense, which is much improved. But your reward is facing Phillip Rivers and still losing. Yeah.
It's 10. Chargers had to score 10 points in the last 6 minutes of the game to win the game, too.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, that's 4 touchdowns by Derek Carr. Excuse me. That's me, you know, forgetting stuff. But anyways, I don't know. I mean, it's good for the Chargers that they didn't do the same old Chargers and puff away a game in their division. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on this because we're running short on time. And there's a lot more interesting games left. And we got 3 of those games in the study hall. The first one I want to touch on, the Cardinals and the Redskins. Now, why is this game interesting? Because we had no idea who's going to start this game until Sunday morning where Carson Palmer arises to fill in for the concussed Drew Stanton from last week and Logan Thomas, the rookie third stringer. And the Cardinals won the day. Chris, take it.
Yeah. Carson Palmer came in, you know, he's out 5 weeks with a shoulder injury.
Right.
And then your game plan is you want him to throw the ball 44 times. I'm looking at that. I'm like, he was 28 for 44, 64%, 250 yards with 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. It worked. But I mean, when your running back carries the ball 19 times and 67 yards, 3.5 average, just feed it to your running back a little more to get him in there. I mean, they won 30-20.
Oh, Chris, you already know there's people that made more blatant mistakes with their running of the football or lack thereof. We're not there yet.
Right. So, I mean, if you look at Carson Palmer's, his almost mirrored Kirk Cousins except for the three interceptions Kirk Cousins threw. I mean, Cousins did throw for 354 yards, but he was 63% completions. But the Cardinals' defense, you know, was the difference in this game. They shut down Alfred Morris. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Yeah. Alfred Morris only had 13 carries for 41 yards.
Well, that's because they're daring Kirk Cousins to throw the football, and Kirk Cousins is not answering the dare. It's right. That simple.
But what helped was with Cousins is DeSean Jackson, three catches, 115 yards and a touchdown. He just blew past the Cardinals' secondary.
That's what
Patrick,
he does.
You know, the Patrick Peterson, his big contract he got off in the offseason, got blown out on there. But another what helped him, Kirk Cousins also, was getting back tight end Jordan Reed, who's been out since week one with a knee injury.
Yes.
He had eight catches for 92 yards.
Yes.
Pierre Garçon had 4 for 31 with a touchdown. But as I said last week, called out Larry Fitzgerald is going to have a breakout game in study hall. He had 6 catches for 98 yards with a touchdown. Michael Floyd also had a touchdown catch. They're both first touchdowns this season.
Yes. And while you weren't here, Chris, just like I cited the note that if Houston had 2 J.J. Watts, they would have won. You said that you also wrote down that Fitzgerald would have a big game. So I will vouch for your prophecy.
Right. But, I mean, difference in this game, really, I mean, also with the defense, is third down conversions for the Skins, 20%. But the only reason why it was this close, 30-20, Skins had 6 penalties for 62 yards. It's quite a bit. It's over 10-yard average right there. But the Cardinals had 14 for 108.
Which is to say they kept them in the game.
Right. And then they were also 0 for 2 in the red zone, the Cardinals.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, anyway. I'm glad the Cardinals won because I didn't want to hear this trash about, oh, Kirk Cousins is back, yada, whatever. Anyways. So... we indeed had a tie this week. The Panthers and the Bengals, 37 apiece. Did you feel like this was a game that neither team deserved to win or neither team deserved to lose?
I think it was neither team wanted. Was deserved to win.
Okay.
And a couple of those, Andy Dalton had a couple in interceptions there late in the game.
And I mean, part of what kept the Panthers in this game, too, I mean, Cam had an interception on the day as well, but, like, he was running the football again in a fashion we haven't seen for a while due to his injury. So, I mean, you got to give credit to that as well. But, you know.
Well, that's because they don't have any other running backs right now because D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart are out hurt.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, that's an issue.
And also, they also lost Tolbert for the season. They called them the four horsemen with Cam Newton and all them. You're missing three of them.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse are going to be late because they're hurt. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, and then also Cincinnati, they were missing A.J. Green.
That's correct. And I wanted to touch on that actually, too. The fact that they tied in this game, in my opinion, is a moral victory. Look, whether you believe in moral victories or not, I'm still going to say this much, is a moral victory for the Bengals because, frankly, the fact that they were able to tie the Panthers, having a game like that, I got to give him credit. You know, and Cam Newton did his thing.
And that 89-yard touchdown run by Giovanni Bernard.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how he broke through that tackle. I'm like, where did he come from on that 80-yard touchdown run?
I don't know. Well, anyway, so we have our first tie.
And then the kicker missed the field goal at the end of.
Thank you for that, too. We talk about this. Let's call it what it is. Without A.J. Green, Andy Dalton puts his team in position to win. Mike Nugent shankoponymous the 36-yard kick, which isn't necessarily a long one. A professional kicker should be able to take care of business to win the game like that.
And what's surprising is both teams kicked the field goal in overtime, too. Zang's first time we've seen that as well.
Yeah.
With that new rule that came out a few years ago with the...
The Rams and the... Oh, they both kicked field goals to start off to keep the game going.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that is new. Yeah. Anyway.
So, with that there, and there was another one I want to touch up based on with this game, with besides the kicker going on, missing the field goal. It just blew my mind. I can't believe you missed a 36-yard field goal.
Chris said that and just started shaking his head.
I'm like, what was it? Oh, yeah. Every year there is a game that's tied for the last few years.
Yes.
Can you NFL players, I know you're a rookie, Kelvin Benjamin, but there are ties in the NFL. Every year there's a tie. A player said, I didn't know you could tie in the NFL. Every year there's a tie. If even if you're in college, you do watch NFL games, you see that there's a tie.
Maybe the NFL should make that part of the rookie symposium.
You know, during orientation, you can tie in the NFL. It's not like college. We don't do the Oklahoma tiebreaker, Nebraska tiebreaker, whatever you call it.
Which is lame as hell, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there while I'm at it. Look, the NFL, the wins in the NFL are valuable, and you must earn them. If you don't, you get a tie. That's what it is. You know, I'm just saying. I'm going to leave that at that. Anyways, so I'm going to warn everybody in advance that we're probably going to go overtime this week on the Student of the Game. You can check out the show in its entirety if you're listening to us live on NGSCSports.com. Click on National Gridiron Network tab up in the top there, and the Blog Talk Radio player will be there. You can click on that. Or if you hang out there and are looking to listen to us later tonight, you can go to thesotg.com. That's the Student of the Game website as well. Find me on Twitter at thesotg. And, of course, find Chris Rankin at Rankin the SOTG. Or if you wish for Weasel to wish Weasel that he gets well soon, at Weasel the SOTG is the Twitter handle. And don't forget to check out the Matchup Mania during the week here. That'll be out Tuesday night this week on NGSCSports.com. A quick shout out there. But I want to make sure we get that out of the way to make sure we give our last game here of Cowboys Seahawks enough love. And we do still have the study hall. But, yeah. Anyway, so with that, let's jump right into it. Cowboys Seahawks. Now, I know leading up to this game, I was campaigning for an anti-bullying campaign for the Cowboys for beating up on weaker teams, that this was supposed to be the litmus test for the Cowboys. Chris, take us through.
Yeah, the Cowboys wrangled up the Seahawks and came from behind on their way to a fifth straight win, 30-23 over the Seahawks.
I mean, look, up to this point, the Cowboys fans have been obnoxious, but if they want to let loose, how about them Cowboys for the rest of this week? I'll allow it.
Yeah, and probably next week, too, because they're going to beat the Giants, but that's another story.
The study hall isn't started yet.
Beginning of the game, the Seahawks looked like it was going to be a runaway as they blocked the punt and returned it 25 yards for a touchdown.
I honestly didn't even see that part because I was in the middle of driving to my buddy Blake's house. And, yeah, I would have started throwing stuff if I had seen it. I'll put it that way.
And then – you know, the turning point of the game was the cornerback Byron Maxwell dropped an interception in the end zone that, you know, Tony Romo gets that one bad pass a game. It's either if a corner intercepts it, that's it. He's going to throw two more interceptions in the game. It's basically proven throughout his whole career that happens when he throws that one bad ball. It's like behind the receiver, back shoulder receiver, but the problem is the receiver turned in, and the corner is the one that turned out, and it was in his hands, dropped it. It would have been a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown.
My memory is
90 seconds.
Is that it was a tougher play than that.
Oh, I mean, it was right in his hands. He dropped it. Very next play, Romo hits tight end Gavin Escobar for a touchdown. It's 10-7. It could have been a 17-0 because there is no one else out there down that sideline.
Is Maxwell, is that the one where Maxwell got hurt on the play?
Yeah, he got hurt a couple plays later, like in a couple series later.
Oh, okay. So this isn't that same pass. Okay, then, no. Never mind.
No. So, I mean, it was 10-0 at the time, and then it made it 10-7.
60 seconds.
But then the Cowboys defense shut down the Seahawks offense.
Wait a minute. The what?
Yes, I said that. The Cowboys defense shut down the Seahawks offense. Me and you have been saying we don't like this Seahawks offense. It's not all that great. Everyone hypes it up. It's not that great. They only had 80 yards rushing as a team. You have Marshawn Lynch, you only have 80 yards. Percy Harvin had 3 rushes for negative 1 yard, 3 catches for 0 yards.
Cowboys
against
defense.
Against the Cowboys defense.
Here's my question, Chris. How many times did Marshawn Lynch carry the football?
10 carries, 61 yards.
Now, you've always proven to be a little bit better at math than me, allegedly.
10 seconds.
At least so said the grades in school. That's 6 yards a carry.
Yeah, 6.1, yes.
And they did that 10 times. How many times did Russ throw the football?
28. So they only had 46 offensive plays.
That's, first of all, only 46 offensive plays speaks more not to the Cowboys' defense, but to the Cowboys' offense against this juggernaut of a Seattle defense. Which, oh, by the way, 12-man, boom.
Right. And I mean, I have this there, too, because time of possession, Cowboys had 38 minutes of time of possession. DeMarco Murray's, it's a sixth straight 100-yard game. Every game this season, he's had over 100 yards. And then also, there was one play when the Cowboys were down. It was 3rd and 20. Romo hit Terrence Williams for 23 yards. They're down 20-23 at the time.
Yeah.
Three plays later, Murray had a touchdown run, put him up 27-23.
Say, that was with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
One could claim that that's a comeback win by Tony Romo.
Yes.
Interesting.
And then Romo was only sacked one time. And that play that he had, the third and 20, he was scrambling around the pocket where he always does against the Giants. He always does against the Giants. I see it so many times against the Giants that, you know, he hit Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams had a great catch on the play, too. I mean, that ball was up there. He goes right along the sidelines. But, you know.
Oh, this is that one where he taps his feet in. That was amazing.
That was a great catch.
But was it, you said 3rd and 20.
Third and 20.
That's up there with Donovan McNabb and the 4th and 26 or whatever it was in the playoff game, I think it was. I mean, that's 3rd and 20. If Tony Romo is starting to build a case to turn his reputation around, it starts with 3rd and 20. Actually, one could argue it started with 48-51 when the defense left him hanging. But that's a much smaller domino in the effect. 3rd and 20. I mean, people are going to be talking about that all year, right? Right. Anyway. So.
Yeah, and then another stat on here, Jason Witten had a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
It was his 900th catch. 900th career catch was his touchdown.
And he's a tight end.
Right. So, and then Dez Bryant had 4 catches for 63 yards against Richard Sherman, was on him all game long.
And a little credit for Richard Sherman, too, like at the end of the game, like towards the end of the game, they shook hands with him, you know. So it was two competitors facing off against each other. I mean, there was no trash talk like between him, say, him and Crabtree, for example.
Right.
So, you know, and here's the thing that I think is getting left out. To end the game, the cool, the calm, the collected, the fantastic, he's so great, we're going to praise him when he gets sacked, Russell Wilson throws the interception to crown the game. He's Colin Kaepernick with a faux hawk. I keep trying to tell you people. Okay? Marshawn Lynch didn't get the ball enough, and Percy Harvin was shut down, making Russell Wilson useless. That's right. I said it. Prove me wrong. You can't. Not this week.
See, I think the Cowboys really studied the Chargers' game plan in this game.
Yes.
Going into this game. What the Chargers did to the Seahawks is basically a replica. You have your defense that we didn't think Chargers' defense was all that great. And look what it did
against
the Seahawks.
They're improved, but they're still not awesome, yeah.
So, I mean, it comes down to the question, is the Cowboys' defense that good or is the Seahawks' offense that bad when you take out two players? You take out Marshawn Lynch. Which actually, you don't really take out Marshawn Lynch.
They took out Marshawn Lynch.
Well, he did have a long of 32. So, I mean, that's 9 carries for 29 yards.
That still maintains movement. That's what this offense is based on, is featuring Lynch and then using him as a fake. I mean, look, let's go back to week 1 with Ryan Lockett's touchdown against the Packers. Okay? They fake to Marshawn Lynch the whole damn field, except for rookie safety, ha-ha Clinton Dix, rolls with him. No, this isn't just an excuse to say that kid's name, by the way. It really happened this way. Some receiver, you didn't know who Ryan Lockett was, and you still don't until I tell you. Gets a touchdown, right. 35 yards-ish, because he's by himself against a rookie safety because everyone else on the field went after Marshawn Lynch. And that's how the Seattle Seahawks have to move the football. It ain't going to be Ryan Terrain or whatever doing it, or Turbin or whatever his name is.
Turbin.
Turbin, thank you.
He even had a 5-yard average.
Meanwhile, though, if Kaepernick's in this game, he's getting killed. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Niner fan. It's, look, Russell Wilson is Colin Kaepernick with a faux hawk. I'm going to say it again. It is what it is. Now, Cowboys fans, before you get too cocky, please remember us pointing out that Marshawn Lynch was taken out of the game by his own team, and they did not run the football. However, let's talk about some other runners. Arian Foster, for example, broke off 150 against this crew. Okay? The Cowboys have a weakness on their running defense. Now, so long as their offense keeps scoring, that's not an issue. But when the offense is screwing up, see week one versus the 49ers, we have a problem there if you're the Cowboys. Some people are already forecasting 9-1 when they get to week 10 in the season. I don't know if I'm that confident in them, but, I mean, look, they fixed their O-line, Chris, and that was pretty much what everything else is based off of. They fixed their O-line, and their defense started thudding. I don't know what's up there, but, I mean, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. That's what made it all happen, were those two items. We're officially overtime, but rather than be too much more late, let's go ahead and get that study hall going. I just, you know, we had to give that game its justice, not just because the Seahawks losing in their home field as the defending Super Bowl champions, but I'm going to give the Cowboys credit. You know, they're having a better season than either of us thought, you know.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it was ever since that first week, you know, the interceptions that could have happened in this game.
Yeah.
As I said, that was the turning point.
And I think that's what makes it so ridiculously good for the Cowboys, in that they left that many opportunities on the field for them. The block punt for the touchdown. Another fumble on a kick, or is either a kick or a punt. I forget which one. Then immediately after that.
Yeah, it was on a punt. Right.
It was on a punt.
Yeah.
Immediately after that for the Cowboys, the ball snapped into Tony Romo's shin. The interception that wasn't. The Seattle Seahawks were given opportunities, but the offense didn't capitalize.
Right.
Bottom line. Anyways, study hall time. Walk us through it.
All right. Last week, you were 11-2. I was 10-3. Weasel was 8-5.
I'm creeping up. I gained 3 games on Weasel?
You gained 3 games on Weasel, so
oh
now you guys are tied. 53-35. I'm 4 games up, 57-31.
I'm
so our averages are still down from those week 3s and 4 that we did pretty bad on. But
you know what, though? I'm creeping up. Walk us through it, Chris. What's we got?
All right. First game, we got the Jets at the Patriots. It's Patriots.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, even if they start Jimmy Garoppolo in this game, it's still going to be the Patriots.
Next game is going to be another pretty crappy one, too. You got the Falcons at the Ravens. I got Ravens. Weasel's got Ravens.
You look, hey, with the way that defense is playing, you got to pick the Ravens. Absolutely. That weekend O-line against Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs. Next question.
All right, you got the Titans at the Skins. Yeah, Skins. Kirk Cousins has 3 interceptions he had against the Cardinals. Cardinals defense is pretty good. Titans defense isn't all that great. I think Cousins will get a win in this game. I'm going with Skins. Weasel's going Titans.
Yeah. Both these teams suck.
Right.
That's what makes this difficult. I'm like, both these teams suck. Right. Without hesitation.
Yeah,
that was brilliant.
The only thing good for the Titans is Delanie Walker. You know.
Yeah, seriously. So, let's try it again. Both these teams suck.
Right. Famous words of the Oakland Raiders.
Winston, right.
Winston, yeah. We suck.
Oh, put a vacuum cleaner in this video or in this show. That's the only way we would talk more about sucking. Anyways.
Yeah, we can just call this the Hoover Bowl.
No, that was actually Titans Jags. But anyways, you know, is Kirk Cousins really that bad? The problem is I've met this guy. Shoot. You know what, Skins? Screw it. I got no good reason.
Oh, you know.
I flipped the
coin. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's the Titans for one. Skins, he's got Jordan Reed back. He's his main target right now. So if he's available in some leagues, people drop him off fantasy, try to pick him up. Jordan Reed, because, I mean, he had a good game yesterday.
Ooh, fantasy advice.
So next game, you got the Seahawks at Rams. Rams play tonight. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
Rams haven't looked that good. Seahawks haven't looked that good in some weeks. But the Seahawks are going to be pissed. Yes. I got the Seahawks. Weasel's got the Seahawks.
You know, I think it was put best by Richard Sherman himself when I interviewed him earlier this year. And I made the joke, which he concurred with, that the Seahawks as a team are a support group for cats with chips on their shoulder. They're not going to take losing this game well. And Austin Davis is going to be pounded by the Seattle Seahawks front. Tony Romo was scared, and he should have been. He got hit a little bit by him and still played a great game. Austin Davis, Bruce Irvin and company.
I was looking at the injuries for the Seahawks that sustained. I mean, their left tackle, Russell Okung, has a torn left abrum, but Pete Carroll says he's...
center is out, too.
Max Unger's out. Yeah. Byron Maxwell left with a calf strain, and then also middle linebacker Bobby Wagner. They're uncertain about his injury.
But yeah, right. Wagner's a big deal too.
So, and then Zach Miller, their tight end's been hurt. So he hasn't played the last couple weeks either. So you got a lot of these injuries for the Seahawks. You don't know what it's going to do, but it's the Rams. So I'm staying.
They're starting a third string quarterback, people.
So I'm gonna stay with the Seahawks on that. But next game you get the Browns and the Jags, which some people would say, oh, this is a crappy game, but I got the Browns on this one. And Weasel's got the Browns.
Guess what? It's a crappy game because it's going to be lopsided in favor of the Browns.
Next, you got the Bengals at the Colts. This one is probably the toughest game this week.
Yeah.
Bengals are not sure about A.J. Green.
Yeah.
The defense is pretty good, but I'm going to go with Andrew Luck and the Colts. Weasel's going to go with the Colts.
Without A.J. Green, the Bengals have demonstrated that they can have a balanced offense. And that's going to be what it takes for the Bengals to win if they do so. However, with the way the Colts have played better on defense, I have to pick the Colts.
Next, you got the Vikings at the Bills.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those games. It's, Yeah, Kyle Orton at quarterback maybe, but I'm still going to go Bills because the Vikings are, I think they're done. Weasel is even going Bills.
You know what it is about this game, though?
It's a trap.
Nonetheless, I got the Bills.
And then you got the Dolphins at the Bears. Dolphins at the play. Another NFC North team. I think the loss to the Packers is going to just stun them a little too much. They're not going to come out as fired up as they're going to be. And I think the Bears are going to feed Matt Forte again. And then, they also got Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Martellus Bennett. It's just too much offensive power on the Bears. Jay Cutler will be settled in. I'm going to go with the Bears. Weasel's got the Bears.
This is actually the toughest game to pick. If A.J. Green were in the Bengals-Colts game, that would be a lot more difficult. This is real tough because you don't know what you're going to get from either one of these freaking squads, okay? Earlier in the season, the Bears were owning people, and then they go 2 weeks in a row where Jay Cutler and company are, 2 games in a row, he had 2 interceptions to cost his team victories, and then he bounced back this week against a team with no offensive line, giving me no litmus test whatsoever. That's why my explanation's so long. I'm trying to stall. I have no idea who to pick in this expletive-deleted game. However, I found when I have faith in the Dolphins, they let me down. At least by picking the Bears, Weasel's wife will give me a big hug. I got the Bears.
Another game. You got Saints at Lions. Lions still going to have out. Calvin Johnson is going to be out the next couple weeks. Reggie Bush might be back next week. That could help him. Saints defense isn't all that great. Lions defense has proven they're better
than advertised. Right. Yeah.
And they're going to put a lot of pressure on Drew Brees. Drew Brees hasn't had all that great of a game season so far this year. So I'm going to go Lions. Weasel's going Saints.
What the Lions have proven to me is that without Calvin Johnson, they're completely useless. I'm going to test that theory. I have the Saints, and I'm creeping up.
Next, you got the Panthers at the Packers.
Wow.
Panthers defense is better than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So
you mean Panthers defense is better than the Packers?
Right. No, I'm saying Panthers defense is better than the Dolphins from the previous week.
Right.
So I know Aaron Rodgers struggled a little bit in that game. I think Panthers will have a little more pressure on them. Corners for the Panthers may not be all that great, but the Panthers are going to be getting one of their running backs back. I think Jonathan Stewart is supposed to be back this week. D'Angelo Williams is uncertain. Cam Newton back healthy, running the ball. Clay Matthews is going to come from one side. Cam Newton's going to go the other way. And I got the Panthers on this game. Weasel's going pack.
I, too, have the Panthers because, I mean, look, you could call it 49er fanhood if you want, but I see what Colin Kaepernick has done with one good receiver, one good tight end, and the ability to run. Guess what? It's Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, and Kelvin Benjamin. That's a Panthers win. Next question.
You got Chiefs at Chargers. The way the Chargers have been playing lately, yeah, they did play a crappy game against the Raiders. They still won, still managed to win. Good teams still find ways to win, even when they don't play their best. Chiefs, you don't know what they're gonna give you every week. when they surprised you against the Patriots, and then you never know.
And then they didn't surprise me playing the 49ers.
Right. So I'm going to go Chargers. Weasel's got Chargers.
I, too, have Chargers. You said it best. You don't always know what the Chargers are going to do, but you know even less about what the Chiefs are going to do. I know this is an AFC West game. I know it's an Arrowhead, but I just can't have that much faith in Alex Smith right now. His mind's probably still messing him with a little bit of wrapping up his previous game with the interception that put the dagger in his own squad.
And you got Cardinals at Raiders. Carson Palmer showed that, you know, he's back. He's healthy.
Cardinals, move on.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going Cardinals. Yeah,
about the damn Raiders?
I don't know. Same thing here. You got Giants at Cowboys. I already said it earlier. They're in the show. I got Cowboys. Weasel's got Cowboys.
Look, with the way they're rolling and no Rashad Jennings to take advantage of the weakness that the Cowboys have in their running defense, I, too, have the Cowboys.
And even if they do, for some reason, Giants pull it off and still win. So, I'm good. Then you got the Niners at the Broncos.
This is the Monday night game, isn't it? Or Sunday
night.
Sunday night game.
Sunday night game. It's like you never know with the Broncos offense. They look like they fire out, and then in the second half, they just, like, coast. And it's come back to almost hurt them again. They almost lost it in the Jets yesterday, a couple weeks ago, almost to the Chiefs. You know, when they come out and they fire out, and I don't know if they can come firing out against the Niners like that with the Niners defense, but I'm going to go with Peyton Manning. I got the Broncos. Weasel's got the Broncos.
I, too, have the Broncos because when you're playing Peyton Manning, discipline is an issue. And if you're undisciplined, Peyton Manning will make you pay for it. And though they only had two penalties in their last game, I just don't have faith in them to keep that up for a while. Maybe Jim Harbaugh and company will prove me wrong, despite the fact he's allegedly going to be fired at the end of the season. I have the Broncos.
And then Monday night game, you got Texans and Steelers. I'm going to go with J.J. Watt, and I got the Texans. I mean, Weasel's got the Texans also.
Yeah, me too, because J.J. Watt. By the way, I think it's going to be amazing when J.J. Watt smashes into Big Ben, just because two bodies that big ramming into each other on a football field as such is just very funny to me. I'm going to leave that at that. Anyways, so that'll do it for us this week here. We ran late, but for good reason. Chris is back doing his thing for the show. Next week, we'll all be here. Hopefully, Weasel will recover from whatever sickness he is that is inhibiting him. We hope he gets well. Websites, www.ngscsports.com. Hit me up on Twitter, at the SOTG, at Rankin, the SOTG, and Weasel, the SOTG. You know, holler at us. Good stuff. And look out in a couple more weeks here. I guess 3 more weeks we'll be doing our midseason awards. That's always a good time, too. That's why we're talking so much about potential MVPs, I think. I don't know. Anyways, until next time, folks, class dismissed.